Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Thursday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Today is the 7th day of January 2016. Thank you, Eric. I would have forgot if you did not mention right before we came back, nuts.com. You know, so many people make New Year's resolutions to eat better, to get into shape, to do things differently with their lives, as we see the American population continue to grow in size, yet these companies like Monsanto and genetically modified foods fight to keep their labels from reading as much that they are genetically modified, and the FDA actually passed laws to say they're allowed to say their foods are natural. With all the terrible environmental pollutions in our waters and our foods and the air we breathe, it's horrible to our system, and we have to be more careful in what we choose to put in our body. And we like to snack as people. We're constantly busy, on the go, and you need something to snack on. You might as well choose something that is not only delicious, but is good for you. Nuts.com is a fantastic company. In our opinion, it is the best tasting nuts on the planet. They create a simple and convenient way to have nutritious, delicious, healthy nuts and other tasty treats from around the world delivered straight to your door. You can get a Hagman and Hagman deal from nuts.com. You go to nuts.com, and right now customers get 4 free samples, over 50 options, over a $15 value at nuts.com. Enter the promo code HH. Very simple, 2 H's. Go to nuts.com, enter HH for 4 free samples with your order. Try it out and let us know what you think. Now, back to our guest, Mr. Paul McGuire. Paul McGuire US is his website. He has written a number of books, and they seem to just get better and better as he goes, from The Day the Dollar Died to Prophecy of the Future of America, Standing on Goliath. The Babylon Code is the latest. And you've been releasing some DVDs recently too, haven't you, Paul?
Yeah, one is called Vortex and World War III, which gives an analysis from Bible prophecy of the Middle East, terrorism, what's happening in the European Union and the economy, and how it may very well lead to World War III. But it doesn't just stop there. It talks about the power of revival and the power of God that God wants to pour out on his people. So it deals with both. And then The Fall of America, Who Will Stand in the Gap. You know, I really wish people would get this and invite fellow believers, not skeptics, but fellow believers over, watch The Fall of America, and then actually go into intercessory prayer and Stand in the Gap, because I believe by doing that they would release the power of God not only in their lives and families, but on this nation. And that's why I recorded that DVD. It comes from the Paradise Church, Mountain Church meetings. And then the other one is Israel. It's a 3 DVD set, Right to the Land, Coming Invasion of Israel, and God's Prophetic Super Sign. And it's a very powerful teaching, which it gets, you know, people have so much confusion regarding the Jews, Israel, their right to the land, where Israel fits in Bible prophecy. And I go through it almost like a lawyer, but it's fast moving. And explain the Abrahamic Covenant. Because, for example, if you understand the Abrahamic Covenant, you understand that it is absolutely impossible for God to be finished with the Jews. So I don't care what theological camp you come from, your argument is a ridiculous argument, because the Abrahamic Covenant, by its very definition, is an everlasting covenant. That means it's everlasting. That means you can't come along and just arbitrarily say, by quoting verses out of context, that God is finished with Israel. He can't be finished with Israel, because the Abrahamic Covenant is everlasting. But people tack on this, well, they forfeited the right to the land. Well, yeah, they did in their flesh forfeit the right in the land, but the basis for them getting the land is never based on their performance. It's based on the covenant. And so that would help a lot of people. So the DVD sets are powerful. By the way, We're going to be launching a Roku channel where we'll be having a lot of teachings that I give at Paradise Mountain Church on. We'll be airing conference messages I've given, and the Roku channel will be up, I don't know, I guess in a week or so. And it's called the Paul McGuire Report. So if people have Roku, they can download that, and of course they can get it free and get a lot of teachings free on TV through the Roku channel.
Yeah, and Roku is actually something that's built into newer smart TVs. And it's an awesome tool. My wife bought one maybe when it first came out, so we were kind of at the bottom end of being able to access what they have on there now. I'd imagine is much greater in content, but the Roku is a fantastic way to not pay for cable. You buy a one-time fee of, you get this
right.
little box, and then you get to access a whole bunch of different content, from news to subscription-based sites, and also people, if you would like to check out some of Paul's videos, not the ones for sale, but some of his other teachings, go to his YouTube channel. There is a constant update of content there, and it's something I check on a regular basis and love watching his videos, because there's so much that is shared. And as I was telling before the show, that you don't waste words. You don't go on about things that are unimportant. You really get the meat, and then that's what you focus on. And it's it's different than what we are used to, especially if you're used to listening to Fox News or even a lot of alternative media, because this is the truth without the agenda of furthering the Constitution or people's rights. It's the truth about our spiritual nature and our spiritual mission and duty, and how the current events are conforming to Bible prophecy.
And, yeah, and you know,
it's
thankful.
Amazing.
I'm thankful for the Roku channel, and the way Roku works is you have to ask for your channel. So mine is called the Paul McGuire Report, and you don't have to have a big fancy TV to get it. You can have just a regular TV, and you can buy the Roku box, and it's not that expensive, and you get access to all these channels. But like you said, you know, I get tired. I mean, my wife can tell you this. That we have Fox News or CNN or whatever. I get so agitated because they leave out everything. And when you leave out everything, nothing makes any sense. So on the messages I give on Roku, I don't leave the stuff out, you know. I get tired of all the information being left out, because that's dishonest. It's dishonest reporting, and it's manipulative. So they will get the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the same with the spiritual teaching from the conferences that I air there. You know me when I speak at a conference. I'm not like politically correct, and I just lay it out, man, and let the chips fall where they may.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's, one of the great things about the way you teach is that you're not trying to make points and score points for people who believe certain ways. You're there to give the truth as the Lord has shown you and as you see with your own eyes. And I want to, before we get too far into this hour, I want to ask a question my dad asked me to ask you, as he's with his wife and unable to be here. He says, Paul, he's been doing a lot of research on the counterculture, which you've written about in your book, The Babylon Code, A Prophecy of the Future of America and Mass Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
He had an aha moment getting into Woodstock, learning about the purpose of Woodstock and the experiments the CIA conducted through the Tavistock Institute.
Right.
And he goes on to say the people who were at Woodstock have shaped the policies in the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Drugs, heroin, all CIA initiatives. Television today, part of a bigger plan. And he says, by the way, he was at a local bookstore over the weekend, and he asked the manager to take your book off the obscure shelf and put it on the aisle table. Anyone want me to tell you that?
Great. The Babylon Code, right?
I would assume so, yeah.
Okay.
He hasn't... Right, which title?
Yeah, I'm very glad he did that, because, some of these giant retailers, they favor. I'm not going to name the book, but there's some counterfeit books to the Babylon Code, which are all fluff, and they don't have any content. And they
and on
put
top
those
of
books.
Resistance you've been meeting too from publishers or
yes,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, so what will happen is, even though the book is selling very, very well, and it's not because I have a massive amount of money to promote it, and not even that anybody's spending a lot of money to promote it. It's doing well because of grassroots people are, with the word of mouth. But sometimes you'll go in these bookstores and you'll be dealing with these publishing giants and Christian and secular bookstores, and they'll have the Babylon Code, even though it's selling better or equal to some of these other books. It's placed on the back shelf, and the counterfeits of it are placed up on the front shelf. And the counterfeits are just like, there's nothing in it. It's just like, it's like cotton candy. And, you know, that's the spiritual battle we face. So when people like your father do that and ask that we place there in the front shelf, that helps us a lot. Because unless we don't have the big budgets. We don't have some big conglomerate. We have ordinary people, you know, doing things like that. That's how we're winning this war, because we don't have, you know, some massive...
Maybe we should write a letter to the Federal Reserve just requesting bags of money once a month to promote special projects.
Yeah, right.
Since they seem to like to just create it for fun. But, no, with all seriousness, we're talking about spiritual warfare, and I'd like to get into this if we could. Personally and in my perimeter and people I know, there seems to have been an increase in spiritual warfare. And I guess in some aspects it's subtle, but it seems to be primarily in the area of taking the person's whatever intelligence they had left, if they weren't a believer, or if they are a believer, skewing their ability to see things properly.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like they're, you know, living in a different world than what they're actually living in, to the mm-hmm. point of I mean, it's only a few days into this new year, and you know, I see friends' potential marriage crumbling over a few days of this spiritual oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And I just we know it's here, I know it's here. And I'd like to ask you if you've seen it, and if not, do you expect to see it become more overt to the point it is you have to face it or run from it?
Well, that's a very, very important question, especially as we go into 2016. So the first thing I want to say is yes, every person who is attempting to live for God or seek God or do something for God or live walking with Jesus Christ is going to experience an escalation of spiritual warfare, both individually and as a culture. And the reason for that is that, to be blunt, the devil, you know, if you're like a dead Christian and there's no fruit in your life and you're not influencing your family, yourself, your community, your nation for the kingdom of God, you're right where the devil wants you. So he's going to, you know, do anything to keep you in that state of spiritual slumber. So I believe that the devil will actually artificially make things calm around spiritually dead Christians or spiritually asleep Christians so they stay asleep, including the church. So what happens is that once you decide to live with Jesus as Lord, once you decide to seek the Lord and be used by Him and step out in faith and accomplish what God has put in your heart, then you become a target. Then you become a threat to the powers of darkness. And then you enter spiritual warfare. And you're going to experience conflict. Now, one thing I want to say, because I want to get rid of a lie right up front. There's a lot of people who are Christians who think, well, gee, if I just lay low and don't rock the boat and don't really stand up for God, then the devil's going to leave me alone. And I want to say right up front, that is a lie. If you think by laying low and doing nothing that you're going to be left alone, I said to a degree you will be, but in the long term, you're not going to be left alone, because the devil's a liar. We need to remember he's a liar. So he may momentarily allow dead and asleep Christians the luxury of a kind of a temporary peace, but he is a, it says the devil goes about seeking whom he may kill, steal, and devour from. You're going to get attacked one way or the other, and you're going to get attacked hard. You may be allowed the luxury of being asleep for a while, but you're going to go down hard. Now, the person who endeavors to walk with God, seek God, be God's man or be God's woman, and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and be used by the Lord, that person is going to enter spiritual warfare. They're going to experience conflicts. And most people will notice that whenever they begin to really do stuff for God that God's called them stuff to do, or whenever God like uses them or uses the thing that they're involved in, or sometimes when we have the greatest spiritual victories, okay, that's when we experience the counterattack, and the enemy will let all hell break loose against us. Again, I want to defeat the lie, though, that you think that you can hide out, the devil's going to overlook you. No, he's not going to overlook you. He'll just get you later down the line. So here's the thing. I've been walking with the Lord for, I don't know, 37 years at least, and I've been through all kinds of seasons and all kinds of spiritual warfare. And I'll tell you this. Nobody told me up front just how intense spiritual warfare can be. So when I first began being used by God, when people were coming to Christ through my early ministry, and I was, you know, reading the Word, and I was growing in the Lord, and the devil hates it when you read the Word and grow in the Lord. Man, all hell came against me. But it was, like, so bad and so intense that, like, I didn't expect it to be this intense because nobody ever taught me or warned me about it. I mean, I don't want to scare people, but I'm going to tell them the truth. So I'm going to tell them the good news and the great. I'm going to tell them the bad, the good, and the ugly. But the good is great news. So keep that in mind as I share this. The devil, when he tries to attack us, either as a group or individual, he always goes for the weak points. He knows where we're strong, and so chances are he's not going to attack you in your strong areas. He's going to attack you in the weak areas, and that means, if you're married, have children, or whatever, he'll press the people that if the devil wants to get to you, he's going to go after the people that are weak and that he'll be able to use to get to you. Or he'll go after the areas in your personality which are not strengthened to get to you. Okay? And so all hell can break loose. All chaos can break loose. You know, I've been faithfully married by the grace of God to one woman, my wife, for 37 years. By the grace of God, not because I'm such a great guy, believe me. When we first got married, we committed our lives to the Lord. We said, Lord, we give you our lives. You're Lord of our life. The Lord was using us. The Lord was using my wife. We were sexually pure before marriage. Now, before I became a Christian, you know, I was the party guy. I was wild. But I said, when I began dating my wife, I said, okay, I'm going to do it your way, God. So we didn't have sexual relations before we got married. And that was hard for me because I thought, I don't want to be offend people and be rude, but I thought you kind of had to test a car, you know, to test drive a car before you buy it. I know that's kind of blunt, but that's, so it was hard for me to marry someone, my wife, without having a sexual relationship with her until after we got married. But we did, okay? And then, so we sought to work with the Lord. So I said, gee, I did it God's way, you know. I was pure before my marriage. I waited, and I was expecting this, you know. And then all hell broke loose in our marriage. Our early marriage was like the Vietnam War. Yelling and the screaming and every crack in both of our personalities. We both came from dysfunctional homes. It was Vietnam. Now, here I'm serving God, winning people to Jesus. I'm head of a ministry in Times Square, New York. The ministry is run by another minister, but I'm basically I'm reaching thousands of people through a born again nightclub in Times Square, where we have like Love Song and Keith Green and all these big Christian rock bands of that time, and thousands of people are coming to the Lord and the Lord's using me in a mighty way, and our marriage just goes, you know, it just like crashes and burns weeks after we're married. So I left everything to pursue my wife. I walked out of my whole ministry career. And the point what I'm trying to make is that all this hell broke loose because I was seeking the Lord. So this has happened a number of times, not just in marriage, but with my kids, stuff has erupted, in business, in any area of life, it just stuff erupts and explodes. And I've learned over the years that if you'll, you know, it says put on the full armor of God, which simply says in Ephesians, and every believer should do this daily, you know, God, we come before you and we ask that you gird our loins about with truth, you shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we pick up the shield of faith, wherewith we shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, we put on the helmet of salvation, and we pick up the sword of the Spirit. And then I'll pray more than that. But you put on the full armor of God, but you read that passage and it says, having stand, and after having done all, stand. So you put on the full armor of God, you pray, you stay in the Word, even if all hell is breaking loose. You keep praying, you stay in the Word of God. All hell is breaking loose. But you stand by the power of God. You may not feel like you can stand, so you ask God to give you the power to stand. And then sooner or later, and sometimes it's sooner, and sometimes it's later. Sometimes a war can last a year or more. You know, I'm not saying it's easy, but the Lord will strengthen you. And I am telling you, I have seen time after time complete, miraculous transformation of the most nightmare circumstances, the most hellish circumstances that a person can experience. I have seen God miraculously turn around. And it's not with a snap of a fingers. It was like hanging faithful in the trenches and fighting the spiritual warfare. And it took time, and the Lord used it to grow me. But I cannot tell you the amount of these awesome miracles. So like today, after 37 years of marriage, I'm blessed. I have a great relationship with my wife. I'm more in love with her today than I was back then. And man, you know, I felt like divorcing her so many times over 37 years, and I'm sure she felt like divorcing me. But because I didn't bail when the fires were red hot. And then you guess what? When the fires were red hot, the Lord says, okay, Paul, and he says it to all of us, you really want to pick up your cross and follow me? You really want to die to yourself? Are you willing to hang in there, even though, for all practical purposes, you could bail, and you know, you choose to follow Jesus, you die to yourself, and that's probably the most painful thing you can do. And then, man, years later, he turns it all around and blesses. So as a guy who's been through a lot of spiritual wars, and it's not just in personal relationships, in organizations, in businesses, in churches, in ministries that I've been involved in, when you're seeking to do the will of God, and the power of God is moving mightily, all hell can break loose among so-called loving Christians. All the cracks in their personalities, jealousy, lies, bitterness, attacks from the outside. So I guess I'm trying to say, not boasting, but I'm a veteran of many intense spiritual wars. And if you hang in there and seek God, and it's not easy, and not all wars are won, sometimes you lose some, God can turn it around beyond what you can believe. But it's not easy, and it takes time sometimes. Did that answer your question at all?
Oh, absolutely. I was listening to, you know, that very detailed explanation, and all I could think of is it's going to get easier. I understand what you're saying, Paul, and the great examples we have, including, you know, what the testimony you just shared, but biblical examples. I mean, we have to look at what the men of God who are written right about in the Bible went through. Job is a perfect example, and Daniel and what he went through also. But Job had his whole family, all his wealth, all his resources,
right,
all his family taken away from him.
Right.
Because the devil believed that if that was his hedge of protection was taken away, his abundance was taken away, that he would curse God and you know, blame him. Even his wife told him to curse God and die.
Right.
But he kept the faith. And that's it right. wasn't overnight, like you said. It wasn't something that, I mean, he was went through stuff with his friends and just constant, it's seemingly loss after another. And not just a loss of, you know, you wrecked the car or your dog died, you know, his daughters, his family. And just try to put yourself in that scenario. How many of us would even have the mental capacity and strength to even pray almost? If I'm making myself clear here, you know, you can't, when you're in situations like that and these things are happening, and then one after another, and it's the right. stress and the just the roller coaster of emotions and the confusion.
Right.
You're lucky if you can keep your head above water.
That's right. That's right.
Let alone think clearly and navigate through it. And
right.
only through your faith will you be able to make it through, because the Lord will get you through. But the
right.
second you decide, Lord, this is too much, even though he's walking you through it, and it might not seem like it, but it's that, how much do you love and believe in the Lord, regardless of what's going on? And that's
right.
what's important.
And the thing is, see, when anybody who seeks to follow God or live for God, when we're in this deep spiritual warfare and everything, and see, the characteristic of spiritual warfare is stuff begins to happen where we say, well, this isn't fair, God. I mean, I've been trying to live the way you wanted me. You know, I've been trying to do your way, and it seems so unfair, so you can't quite understand why it's happening to you, because you were trying to do everything the right way. And then, remember, the devil comes, and he tempts us, and the devil, and this is where he snares a lot of Christians. If he can get people to be bitter or to harbor being offended, see, if you get offended because other Christians or people that were close to you really did you wrong, if he can get you to be offended, he can get you. I've seen people backslide for 30 years or more because the devil got them to be offended or bitter about stuff. Or if things don't go your way and you didn't get the promotion you wanted, or this didn't happen, or that didn't want it, or this group of believers treated you badly and attacked you and said bad things about you or whatever, people
and
get
Paul,
offended.
If I can
yeah.
jump in, because some people might say, oh, you know, that's not hard, that's not, you know, trouble. But, you know, to some people, that is the worst kind of trouble. Each individual person is different, and we cannot judge other people's problems and how they feel about them, because we don't know what's in their hearts or their emotions. And something that might seem small and insignificant to one person might seem like a impassable mountain to another. So
right.
it's just we have to have that compassion and understanding also, that there is, you know, it's going to, the Lord said, all who believe in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Right.
He didn't say how bad or if it was going to be easy, or some might get away with just the, you know, scratch on the back of their neck and some won't come out with any limbs. It's just, you will suffer persecution one way or another, or spiritual oppression. And as the kingdom of darkness continues on this earth, it's just going to get worse, and we have to prepare. And if we can't get through these moments, what are we going to do when it is completely all-encompassing? And everything is evil, and all you're trying to do is survive the people hunting you down for your faith.
Yeah, and all that's true. And what I've found is that when the external pressures or problems increase, if we're open to it, the Lord will pour in a deeper and stronger anointing and power and sense of his grace and spirit. In other words, when you don't need it, he doesn't always give it to you, but when the external pressures or persecutions increase, if you're open to it, the Lord will send you an increased amount of power and grace in his spirit to so that you can be victorious and keep, you know, living. I'm not saying it's easy, but but he'll send you more power. And so, like, where we are in the United States of America, I mean, let's be blunt. Right now in America and the world, but let's talk about America because this is where we live, all hell's breaking loose. We are in an all-out spiritual war. I mean, the masks are being taken off the faces. This economic thing is very dangerous. Every believer has a choice. You know, you can give into a spirit of fear. If you just meditate on what's on the various news channels, you're going to be filled with fear because there's no hope. There's no promises of God. There's no integration of the reality of God into, let's say, the terrorist crisis, the economic crisis, or whatever. So if God's people, if you make the choice now to open yourself up to the power of the Holy Spirit, renew your mind with the Word of God. And sometimes, yeah, you're right. Things get so bad you can't, you don't even have the emotional energy to make a big prayer. But guess what? If you simply say help to Jesus, or if you can manage to just say Jesus, not in a curse word, but just say Jesus every once in a while during the day, if you're just so emotionally like knocked out that that's all the energy you can muster is to say the name of Jesus, he'll honor that. Because you're connecting with him by saying Jesus, or help, or Jesus help. You know, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to give like, you know, 3-hour prayers. And then as God gives you the power, you begin to take authority. Even if you feel nothing, you take authority by faith, and you begin to call on the power of God. You will find that he will invade your nightmare conflict, or your conflict, or your persecution, or whatever, with his power and grace, both in the personal areas of your life with the personal problems, but also in the nation. So right now, you know, I'm taking this, I call it a Passover tour with Paul McGuire into Israel. Well, in April, that people can go to. But what was the Passover? The Passover was when the Jews in Egypt put the blood of a sacrificial lamb on the doorposts of their houses so that when God sent his judgment into ancient Egypt and he killed the firstborn of the Egyptians as punishment for keeping the people of God into captivity, any Jewish person that was faithful to God and put the blood of the sacrificial lamb on their doorposts and shut their door, then literally the angel of death would pass over their household and their children would live, and it would strike down the Egyptians because they were trying to kill God's people. Now, that Passover lamb, we're going to teach you about that more there, because you can do that through intercessory prayer too, over a nation like Israel. You can do it over America, but you can do it over your own household. So that doesn't mean you necessarily have to get out. And I would advise that you don't do it. You don't slaughter a lamb and put real blood in your doorpost. But you can appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ in prayer and place the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of your home or the portal of your life. Because what is a portal? It's an interdimensional door. And you appropriate the blood of the lamb by faith over you, your household, your loved ones, and even your community, your state, and your nation. And by doing so, this is a form of spiritual warfare, by appropriating the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, on the doorposts or portals of your life, you block and prevent the entrance of demonic entities from killing and destroying. But you do it by faith first. And when you do it by faith, you seal up the entrance point of demonic powers, and you drive them out. And as you do that, then the Holy Spirit dwells in your house, your life, and you invite the entrance of the Holy Spirit into your nation. If you'll do that, even when you feel emotional resistance, even if you feel nothing, even if your mind says this is nuts, you do it by faith, you will invite the presence and the power of God and the angels of God to protect and to wage war against the evil one on your behalf because you've prayed, and you will see a driving out and a dislodging of the powers of darkness. There are, you know, we don't understand why everything happens. Only God does. Okay, so I can't tell you why sometimes we pray and people die and stuff like that. I can't tell you that. All I know is God said, pray for the sick and they shall recover. Now, I've prayed for people who were sick, and they didn't recover. They died. Well, I don't consider that a failure on my part. I did what I was told to do. God, it's God's decision. He's the healer, not me. So I just carry out my orders. So when we're facing the spiritual battle in America right now, which is really massive, every believer in Jesus Christ, and that would include all believers in Jesus Christ listening to your program, they're confronted with a choice. If you're just going to sit back and watch on the news media the death angel, like in Egypt, come in and destroy the economy, destroy the government, destroy the society, destroy the military, destroy the Constitution, if you're just going to sit back passively and watch that happen without responding with spiritual authority, the enemy is going to have free rein to rape, kill, and destroy our nation, because there's no opposing spiritual force. But if you will take up your place on the wall of God, and you will appropriate the blood of Jesus over the nation, over your life, over these problem areas in our nation, and if you will call upon the power of God and ask for his angels to come in and ask for his power to rescue us, what you're doing is you're changing the balance of power spiritually. You're changing the spiritual atmosphere. You're changing the direction of the warfare. And now by legal law in heaven, and I want to emphasize, by legal law in heaven, Lucifer and the forces of Lucifer, which means his fallen angels and demons, are legally restricted from carrying out their destructive assignments if and only if God's people overrule the assignments of Lucifer to the fallen angels. Only if God's people go into the throne room of God and overrule those demonic assignments can we see a stopping or cessation of that destruction. If God's people stay in a position of neutrality or passivity where they just watch it happen on television, then all hell's going to break loose and it will escalate and the nation will go down. But if this is what revival and a great awakening is about, because there's people listening and they're in two spiritual places who are listening. There are people who are listening and the Spirit of God in them is resonating in agreement with what I say, because the Holy Spirit in them is alive and well, and they're spiritually awake, and they feel exhorted, not by me, but by the Spirit of God, to man the posts that they're supposed to man. But there's other people who, it's like my words are like a ping-pong ball bouncing off a cement wall. They're hard in their hearts, not towards me, but they're hard towards God. They're temporarily in a spiritual condition of deadness or asleep. So what happens is the Spirit of God visits each heart, each person, each home. And, you know, again, those words from Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear or woman hears them and opens the door and sups with me or has fellowship or invites me in, God is able to move." So Jesus right now is knocking on the door of people's hearts. Some people are open, they're childlike, and they're inviting Christ in, and they're going to participate in the spiritual warfare assignment that God is giving right now. Others, my words sound like a ping-pong ball bouncing against a cement wall. They're spiritually asleep or spiritually hardened. The reason we need a great awakening and a revival is that a great awakening is when there is a vast ramping up or acceleration of the power of God that hits those who fit into the category of the ping pong ball against the cement. When the power of God is revved up, the voice of the Lord will shatter the cement wall of their hearts. The Spirit of God will penetrate their biases and delusion, and they will be quickened by the Holy Spirit and made alive in the Spirit. And that's a supernatural act. But it only takes a remnant. I mean, some believers will never wake up. It only takes a remnant to obey God and respond to Him. Now, if that remnant will obey God and respond to Him, we can release the power of God into our nation. The conflicts are going to be intense. The spiritual battles are going to rage with incredible intensity. But we will see a counter-invasion of America against the demonic forces, against the architecture of evil, by the angelic armies and the power of God. And we will see the powers of darkness pushed to whatever degree God deems into a position of retreat, and we will see an expansion of the territory that God has claimed. But the outcome of the warfare and the degree of victory is determined by God, but unless God's people obey, nothing can happen. So we could talk about any of 20 major national crises going on right now, or major geopolitical crises going on right now, or crises in our government or economy or whatever. If God's people just sit there in a stupor, asleep, and watch it on television, or they just emotionally get aroused in front of the TV or the radio, and they just emotionally get excited by the talk show host or whatever, that will produce nothing. There will be no measurable outward effect. If they take their position based on the call of the Holy Spirit to engage in spiritual warfare and actually begin to pray and appropriate the power of God according to the laws of God and the promises of God, we can see a driving back of the powers of darkness. We can see revival breakout. We can see a great awakening breakout to whatever extent God deems. And that's the way God wants it, because in the last days, however long the last days last, as long as God's people are here on earth and in the game, there's supposed to be a conflict between the forces of evil and the forces of good, a spiritual, legal, law-abiding conflict. But if there's no conflict, it means the people of God are AWOL and dead. So all it takes is a remnant church, anyone listening who will respond to the Spirit of God, we get into the game. Now, I just want to quickly connect what I just said with the question you asked about the persecution and about the spiritual battles that people face. There is an overarching principle, and that is, even if you don't feel like it, if you stay in the game, if you respond to God's call to enter spiritual battle, even if that just means praying, if you respond to the call of God and obey Him, and invite and put the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts and the portals, you will inevitably find a spiritual principle at work. And this is the principle, that those people that are occupying until Jesus comes, those people that are busy doing the business of Jesus Christ or the Father, God supernaturally has a habitual habit of watching their back, sending much more resources into their spiritual battle, sending support troops in terms of angelic armies and support troops in terms of grace and power. And those people that are being faithful about God's business will find that the length of their spiritual battles will be shortened, and the sweetness of their victories will be heightened. So if people, you know, people are trying to do all kinds of things to get the favor and the power of God, if they will be busy about their Father's business, they will find that the grace of God doesn't get rid of their trials, but there's a softening to the trials if they're busy about their Father's business.
Amen, Paul. And, you know, the spiritual battles, as you just pointed out, can be knocked down, drag them out.
Yeah,
you know, heavyweight fights to where you really afterwards have not even enough strength to comprehend
right.
anything.
Right.
Like the what happened in Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar commanded all people to worship his image of gold that he set up, and then said that those who didn't would be cast into the fire, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told Nebuchadnezzar when he asked them that he did not, or they did not, and would not bow down, and that they might throw him in the fire, and God will save them and deliver them. But even if he doesn't, they have that authority, and then that they're standing in the highways and byways, as you were talking about, filling the gap as the rest of the world was bowing to the statue. And, and these men had, told the king and all the powers that the king had at his disposal, there's nothing you can do to us. Our Lord will protect us. And if we don't come out of this, we will be fine, because he will take care of us no matter what. And they had that faith that it did not matter what was threatened to them. And I don't know if we're, as a whole body of Christians, ready for that, but these spiritual battles that do happen, and if you get through them and you're still alive, just like any other tough thing that people do in life, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right.
He is refining his church to be ready for those battles, and he doesn't give us more than we can handle. So each spiritual battle that you go through and stand faithfully, that is obedience, and we are being prepared for endurance.
Right.
And we have to look at this not as why me, instead, thank you, Lord, for refining me and giving me the strength and understanding to continue.
Right. And the important thing that people need to remember is that the reason they're alive now, the reason they're here on earth now, the reason that the church is here on earth now, is because God has a destiny for everybody to fulfill, and God has a plan and a purpose for everybody to fulfill. If God just wanted us to be on autopilot and watch everything happen, he wouldn't need us here. He has us here by his plan, because he has a purpose and an assignment for each one of us to fulfill. I mean, the body of Christ on earth right now is here for a reason, and one of the reasons is to preach the gospel and to restrain the powers of darkness. The other thing is, as we look at 2016, people would make a big mistake if they look at 2016, simply assessed all the secular analysis of what could potentially happen, and then they just move into it on their own human strength and wisdom, like they were standing on a conveyor belt and there's nothing they can do about it. No, God has opened the time portal of the year 2016 so that those people that are his, those people that have the Holy Spirit, we're not just supposed to be standing on a conveyor belt as God moves us through 2016. And I really pray the Holy Spirit would explode a massive revelation and blow out the spirit of deception. And literally right now as I'm talking, that the Holy Spirit would detonate with the dunamis power of God, that he would just blow off the spiritual deception, the spiritual fog, the spiritual malaise that is lingering over the minds and eyes of God's people as they've entered 2016. It's my prayer that, as I say what I'm about to say, that the Spirit of God through the dunamis literally detonates and blows out the spiritual fog and lethargy and fatalism. The Lord has called us for such a time as this. He called us before the foundation of the world to be here for such a time as this. Right now, that time is the year 2016. And we are responsible before God, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to obey our assignments as good soldiers in Jesus Christ. And that means we obey him, because he is our commander, whether we like it or not and feel it or not. And one or two of the commandments that God has given us that apply to 2016 is we're to preach the gospel and win people to Christ in season and out of season. Number two, we're to pray, because God's word says we're to pray always about all things. And then number three is we're to occupy until he comes. So we're to occupy all that goes on in 2016 along with the other commandments until he comes. How do we activate this occupation? Well, we can't in and of our own strength. We occupy until he comes by calling upon the power of God. Each one of us, we go into the throne room, we call upon the power of God, and if we are faithful to do those things, then 2016 is not a matter of Christians standing on a conveyor belt watching the horror show, but it's a matter of Christians boldly, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, moving into 2016, exercising the keys of the kingdom, establishing the dominion of Jesus Christ by faith over the year 2016, occupying until he comes, and that means the spiritual occupation of the spiritual atmosphere of America, our lives, our families, and everything else. If we will do that, and not just make the determination based on our physical senses, if we'll obey God by faith, I promise you that God, according to his word, will send his power, his deliverance, his angelic armies. If we will do what we're commanded to do, like Joshua did, he sent the worship team before Jericho, which was a stronghold, and they worshiped God before the stronghold of Jericho. If God's people will worship him before the strongholds will collapse to one degree or another, and we will see victory, and we will see to whatever degree revival and awakening, and we will see the enemy driven back to whatever degree God chooses. But that level of high intensity, people are all upset about drones. Forget drones. We have the power of God in the angelic armies. If we would go into the heavenlies, which is the throne room of God by faith, we can call down the power of God, and we can. Christianity is not fatalism. We change the outcome to whatever degree God allows us to in 2016. But if we aren't going to do that, we're AWOL from the spiritual battle. A soldier that deserts his commander in a time of battle is AWOL. He's absent without leave, and he's usually court-martialed, imprisoned, or killed. So Christians who choose to be AWOL, they're going to experience trials, pressures, and temptations, but guess what? There's going to be no backup for them because God's going to chastise them. They're not in sync with God. They're in rebellion from God. But those soldiers, that's every true believer in Jesus Christ, male and female, who occupy until he comes and are obeying God, who are in sync with God, get the privilege of receiving the anointing, the power, the wisdom, the grace, and the protection of Almighty God. And it's in that place you can experience supernatural joy and victory despite the outward circumstances.
Amen. We have reached the end of the show. As always, very insightful, very timely, and purposeful information. And it's been, as always, a pleasure talking with you. It's just like sitting at a restaurant and or talking to you on the phone on a off the air. Just a very relaxed but very focused show dealing specifically with the spiritual element in the world and the spiritual element in the church, and where do we go from here. And folks, if you joined us late and you want to hear what Mr. McGuire's thoughts and insight is on a whole host of issues dealing with the spiritual warfare we face as Christians, as believers, in the time we live, go back and listen to it. Check out his website, paulmcguire.us. If you can, get a copy of his books, From a Prophecy of the Future of America to his latest, The Babylon Code. These are great books, and I give them to my mom to read, and she doesn't like to read things, books like this. She likes the crime novels and whatnot, and she loves it. And I haven't met somebody who said they didn't like it or gain something from it. We want to thank you again, Paul, and we will be joined together and in Dallas coming up so fast, March 18th through the 20th at the Hear the Watchman right. event. So we look forward to seeing you there. I'm sure we'll talk again on air before that conference does happen. But thank you from my dad, myself, and everybody here at the Hagman and Hagman family for your time. And God bless you. Have a good
night.
All right.
God bless you, Joe. And say hi to your father and family members. God bless you, brother. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Anytime. Folks, tomorrow we'll be back 7 p.m. Have a good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.